Welcome to another inspirational message from Church on the Rock Powell. Thank you for listening. And if you would like more information, you can visit us at www.therockchurch.co.za.
Are you ready for the word? I almost wasn't ready for the word. I was talking to family. Hallelujah. Praise God. Who's being bold? Are you being bold? That's our word, bold, bold dreams, bold prayers, bold invitation. Boldness isn't begging, pleading, wishing, or hoping. Amen? Boldness is knowing, trusting and knowing God is going to be there, having a belief system that is bigger than Amima. And so I'm challenging you to get a spiritual roar going on the inside of you. I'm challenging you to be as bold as a lion. I'm challenging you to sign up for the stand. If you're a teenager, if you know any teenagers, get them there. If you're a young adult, sign ups. Let's serve the next generation. Let's make a difference. I challenge you, be there for team night. And it's going to be exciting. You know, it's a choice. Last week I spoke about what if. What if, those two words, what if, has changed world history. You've got to know that. And how much more will it change a child of God? And so if you weren't here last week, go online today. It's on online today. I want to encourage you to watch it. It's in our archives. It's there. It will bless you and propel your life forward into all that God's planned and purposed for you. I don't know if you've ever had a little one come up to you and say something like, hey, when I bend my fingers back like this, it hurts. Anybody? You know what I'm talking about? And I say, we've got little grandchildren. It's like, it hurts when I do this. And I say, well, stop bending it backwards and it won't. You know, anybody experience that with a child? They come and they do these like things and tell you it's sore, you know. When I go upside down, you know, I keep hurting my head. And you go, well, stop going upside down, right? You have a choice in this. It's almost like they think the floor is doing this to me. My head hurts because of the floor. And it's like, no, you know, their thinking is, I have no choice in this matter. I'm just at the whim of life. So I'm going to keep getting hurt all the time because I have no way to change it. And what I tell them is just quit it. You know, stop it. Why? Because I'm trying to communicate you have the choice in the matter that is there. And I think sometimes we live life like that, that whatever the circumstances, it's going to dictate how we feel. We allow our joy and peace and things we don't want to pursue and to dictate to us by the circumstances that are going on. And we become like a pinball machine. You know, we're like a little ball and life pulls back the leader and chuk-tung, bang, bow, bang, you know. You do know what a pinball machine is? Or I'm going like old school here, you know. This church, we're allowed to make a noise. Praise God. If you're visiting, this is a church. The quieter you are, the longer I preach. So, hallelujah. So, that little pinball just goes all over. Bing, bong, 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 you know. And I'm not saying life is easy. We can get a bad medical diagnosis. And it's like, bing, whoa, where did that come from? And we get betrayed. And it's like, pow, bing, this ball is shooting everywhere. And then someone sends something negative about us. And it's like, bing, again. And we're just this little pinball bouncing through life, letting whatever hits us knock us all around. But I just want to say today that while you don't always have control over what happens to you, you have 100% control over how you respond to what happens to you in your life. So if you're ready to respond to today's word, repeat after me. My heart's open. My mind's ready. I won't be the same again. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we don't have or always have control of what is happening because life happens. Not so. But we do have control over how we respond to those things. Chaos can be going on all around me, but it doesn't have to be going on inside of me. I have the choice as to how I handle the chaos that is on the outside and whether or not I allow the chaos to get on the inside of me. You have a choice as to how you respond and whether you will choose joy or not. Okay? If you follow me, say amen. Amen. I'm definitely not downplaying how overwhelming the challenges can be. How hopeless, how helpless you can feel in some moments when everything is pressing down on you. But even though those moments may seem overwhelmingly great, my Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater. I love that the Bible says, greater is he. It's not saying the issues aren't great. He's not saying they aren't challenging. He's not saying they aren't real. The Bible isn't downplaying anything. It's not just get over it. Jesus isn't saying, hey, well, just suck it up and do better. No, you know, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. No. The scripture acknowledges that the pain and the frustration, losing the job and getting the diagnosis, it's all a big deal. What you are going through is a big deal. But the Bible reminds us that greater is he that is in me. Not greater he that is outside in the universe somewhere far away. You know, greater is he that flung the stars into space and spoke them by name. No, it says greater is he that there is something on the inside of me. There is a power of the Holy Spirit and it's living on the inside of me. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That means that there's a superpower on the inside of us. And I wonder if this is why it says in Psalm 23:5, you, God, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So in the presence of my enemies, while enemies are all around me, and you can fill in the blanks, you know, the challenges, the struggles that you are facing in your life, in the presence of my enemies, I can open up my happy meal. Have you ever thought about that? That's what he's saying. Whenever you lack peace or you're in a turmoil, eating usually seems like the last thing you want to do. Not so? When I'm going through stuff, I don't want to eat. It's easy to go and diet then, you know? But the Bible says that even in those moments, even in the presence of my enemies, you prepare a table before me. I can sit down with some nice greens and, I don't know, sweet millies. Come on, somebody. Some potato salad, some braaibroekies. Not broccoli. Why would God have that at his table when he's a loving God? Let's be honest. Broccoli. No kale either. That's from the devil. Okay, just joking. All the kale lovers. We had a fast where I just drank liquid stuff and my wife gave me liquid kale. There is a devil, and he's green. I tell you, I couldn't. No, I'm joking. Kale, you kale lovers, I pray for you. Anyway, I'm not saying it isn't hard, but I'm saying greater. Greater is he that is in you. There are many choices that you can make in the direction, I think, of joy. You are not helpless. You are not hopeless. You're not powerless to choose joy in your life. And I don't know what will happen during this year that lies ahead. I mean, can you believe we're in March? It's like, whoa, I can't read into your future and say, this will be the greatest year that you've ever had in your life. I can't do that. But I do know this. You can choose joy no matter what this year throws at you. And I'm not talking about happiness. That is based on circumstances that are going on. You know, it will come and go based on whether or not the holidays work out, whether or not you pass the test, whether or not your kids behave or you get that promotion. I'm talking about joy that is unspeakable and full of the glory of God. And there are a lot of things you can choose that lead to joy. Did you know that choosing to be grateful leads to joy? Gratitude leads to joy. It is like the gateway drug to joy. It's. Are you with me? Hello, anybody? The Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. So gratitude will take you into the presence of God. And in the presence of God, the Bible says, there is fullness of joy. And so if you need a hit of joy and you need a hit of the presence of God, you've got to understand the two go together. If you're like, right now, I just need some joy, then you need to enter God's presence. For in his presence, there is fullness. Not half-baked, not just a little bit, but fullness of joy. And it's found in the presence of God. Gratitude is the gateway. You know what else is a gateway? Praise. Praise leads to joy. Hosea and Hebrews say, I'll praise you with the fruit of my lips. Praise is external. I've got to open my mouth to praise. So whenever you're lacking joy, and maybe you don't need to do this at the office, you know, I'm having a bad day at the office. I'm not saying do this in front of everybody. They'll think you lost your mind. But maybe you need to get in your car or find a private room. Go to the bathroom, mate, to one of those places with a single stall. Lock it, you know, nobody else is there. And you just sit for a moment to say, you know what? I'm just going to open my mouth. I praise you, God. I praise you that you're holy. I praise you, God, that you're good. I praise you, God, that you're righteous. I praise you, God, that you're long-suffering and you put up with me. That's my kind of praise with God. Praise God for who he is. And I tell you, something will begin to change. There will be a shift on the inside of you as the fruit of your lips declare the praises of God. Praise is a great way to get to joy. Prayer is another great way to get to joy. There are a lot of different ways. I'm not going into all of them. But I want to tell you that there are some things you should avoid. There are some killjoys you should avoid. And some of you are like, well, I live with him. I can't avoid him. I'm not talking about people, all right? Don't look at the person next to you right now. But anytime we try to do life our way and not God's way, it leads down the path of killing your joy. Selfishness is another one. Listen to this. I've been looking up this because I'm going to be talking on joy later in the year. In the latest research, scientists are now saying that the opposite of joy in the human mind isn't actually depression. The opposite of joy is narcissism. Isn't that fascinating? This is the latest research coming out. Because it's hard to have joy when you are 100% focused on yourself. What I'm experiencing, what I'm feeling, what they are doing to me, what they said about me, what they have and I don't have, that will kill joy in a second. So I'm going to give you three choices today that you can make that will give you joy. Are you with me? Take notes. And if you don't take notes, take notes. All right. Number one, here's one choice you can make. I'm going to see beyond what has happened. I'm going to choose to see beyond what has happened. I can make the choice to see beyond what has happened. In Philippians 1, we're going to be looking at today, my scriptures today, go from verse 12 to 18. We're just going to work our way through Philippians 1, 12 to 18. And Paul is writing, and he's writing from inside a prison. And he says, verse 12, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the kingdom. This is awesome. What has happened to me has actually. Think about those words. What has happened has actually. He says, I choose to look beyond what has happened. You've got to get this revelation. There is what is happening, and then there is what is actually happening. You got it? That's where you see in the natural, you know? I think that's possible. We all can see in the natural. It's what is going on around you. It's what you're complaining about. It's what's frustrating you in your life. And then there is what is actually happening. What is happening in the spiritual, in the supernatural. Because serve a God, all of us, we serve a God who is working all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. If you want your joy killed, then get your eyes fixed only on what is happening, on the betrayal and what they said about you, on the diagnosis that has come from whatever, the doctor, whatever, on what's happening at work, what the boss has said, what the people have said, what that person. But if you would just zoom out a little bit and we say, God, help me to see what is actually happening. Help me to see what you are doing in the supernatural. God, you are always working things together for my good. So help me see how you're going to remove this from my life or how you're going to repossession me. God, you're going to do something for my good in this. I'm looking at that. Paul says, what actually happens to me was for the gospel to be advanced. I thought it was prison, but it was a bigger ministry. I thought it was prison, but it gave me some time to write some of the New Testament. Come on, you can get excited. I thought the devil was trying to shrink me, but God was advancing me. Can I tell you that every obstacle you face is an opportunity for the glory of God to be revealed in your life? But if you spend your time going, they betrayed me. They did this to me. They lied behind my back. They ran me down. They ran me down. No. Don't focus on what happened. Focus on what actually. Somebody shout, actually. Actually. I'm looking at the actually. I thought they were trying to put me in jail, but God was elevating me. I thought they were trying to shut me up, but then I found a pen and a piece of paper, and now I'm writing. And who knew that 2,000 years later, there would be a preacher on a stage in Paul that would be talking about it. Oh, this is what happened. But here's what was actually happening. But here's the deal. You don't see the actually overnight. You don't see the actually overnight. It may take a month, it may take a year. You may get to this time next year and go, I still don't know the actually. But can I tell you something? God is true to his promises. So it says that he works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So I want to remind you that Israel cried out to God for deliverance. They were crying out to God for deliverance. And God talked to Moses. He did not talk to Israel. Just because God isn't talking to you doesn't mean that he's not talking to your deliverer. Amen? This may be happening, but actually what is happening is I may be facing this, but actually. And I'm praying that by this time next year, you'll come back with the actually answer, the actually miracle. That sometime in the future, you'll come back and go, you know what? I was worried. I put it in the prayer cards. I had them read it out in the front of the church. But actually, what was happening is it was a setup for God to do something miraculous in my life. Are you with me? If you're with me, I've got a next point. Number two, I'm going to choose to look for the redirect. The redirect. Paul says, next verse, verse 13. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard, those are all those people that had arrested him in that situation, and to everyone else, that I am in chains for Christ. I mean, what a perspective that he's got. I mean, chains for Christ. That's an incredible perspective. Verse 14, and because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Come on, they became bold. Paul could have been, hey, I'm the apostle. I'm the apostle of the Lord. You know, I meet people and I say, where are you? Oh, no, I'm an apostle of the Lord. Paul could have been like that. Man, where's Jesus? I'm the apostle. Where's the Holy Spirit? Come, Holy Spirit, you should be moving. No, he says, this is what happened, but here's what actually happened. And the more I look at it, God was not detouring me. He was redirecting me in this. He was redirecting me for something greater in my life. Because I'm in chains. The believers that have risen have had a rise in their confidence and are now proclaiming the gospel. It says even more. In other words, I thought it was going in one direction, but God decided to take it another way, and to God be the glory. That is what living a surrendered life is all about. That is what living an open hand life, I believe, is all about. It's saying, God, I may have my plans. The Bible's clear. My man plans his ways, but how many of you know? God orders his steps. Bible says the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. And so, God, I'm going to look for the redirect in my life. It may not have worked out the way that I wanted it to, but I'm not going to get stuck there. I'm looking for the redirect. Maybe I should change the word from joy to flexible. Some of us get so rigid in God. You know, God, I thought this was the way it was supposed to be. And he says, no, I need you to be a little bit flexible. A little flexibility in your life. I may move you to the left, and then I may move you to the right. Then I may move you back to the left again. And then I may move you back to the right again. And then I may move you forward, or I may move you backwards. People get all bent out of shape whenever they get redirected by God. You may have got stuck at that point of bitterness, at that point of betrayal. But God is going to do a redirect in your life. You may have got stuck at the point of a loss of confidence, but God's doing a redirect. Why would you camp out at that place of pain or that place of disappointment? Why would you set up house at that place of hurt? Why would you go, God, or I should say, why wouldn't you go to a place where you go from your heart, God, redirect me from here. God, I'm open. God, I'm willing. God, I'm able. God, I'm available to you. Redirect me. And if my change cause others to have confidence, then I've got a new win. And I've got a new scoreboard in my life. A new scoreboard. Lord, it isn't my victory, but it is the victory of other people. You can have joy. You can have joy when you are willing to be redirected. You can have joy in your heart when you choose to look for it. When you stop focusing on what happened and start focusing on actually. What the devil meant for evil, God is turning for good. I should say, what the devil meant for evil, actually, God turns for good. No weapon formed against me will prosper. That's what's actually happening. I can't see the end from the beginning right now, but actually, I know the plans he has for me. They plans to prosper me and not to harm me, to give me a hope and a future. Are you still with me? Some of you need to start living it. Get off what happened and start living on the actually. And the Bible is full of actuallys. You still with me? Last point, number three. I'm going to choose to focus on what really matters. I'm going to choose to focus on what really matters. You can't control or choose what happens to you or what life throws at you, but you can choose how you respond to it. You can choose what you focus on. And I'm telling you, joy will fill your heart if you choose to focus on what really matters. It goes on in verse 15 to say, 15, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. 16, the latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. Paul says, I'm in jail because I've been preaching the good news. If anybody ever had a reason to not have joy in their life, it was Paul. He's been preaching the gospel, and that's why he's now in jail. And some of the things that happen in our lives are the result of our choices. He's there because he's doing the right thing. Verse 17, the former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely. They're trying to get something out of it for themselves. He's saying they have a hidden agenda. They are not sincere, supposing, it says, that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. Look at this. He goes on and says, but what does that matter? Man, I love it. But what does it matter in the scheme of eternity? I'm preaching to Mark Serpentine right now. Mark, what does it matter? Can I ask you, are you really going to let, you know, whatever it is rob you of your joy? Paul goes on, the important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. Paul is saying, I have one aim. I have one mission here, just making a difference in the world. And then he says, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. I will continue to rejoice. Can I give you another way to think about the word rejoice? Re-joy. Re-joy. Paul was saying, I could focus on the fact that some people are trying to cause me trouble and are doing it out of rivalry and ambition and not out of goodwill. But he says, what does that matter? Because when I think about it, Christ is being preached, and that's what really matters to me. We have to ask ourselves, what good is that going to do me or benefit me? What is it going to produce on the inside of me? Is what I'm doing going to produce anxiety or bitterness or a lack of joy in my life? Paul says, no matter what their motives is, what I really want to happen is that Christ is to be preached. And when I think about that, I rejoice. When I first heard about it, I had joy. And when I think about it again, I rejoice. And I continue to what? Rejoice. Why? Because I think about what God is doing in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you something? Listen to me. One of the greatest things you can do is rehearse God's goodness in your life. Did you hear me? Rehearse God's goodness in your life. All my life, He's been so faithful. I think back, He's been my father, He's been a friend. It'll cause you to rejoice because of what He's done for you. Focus on what really matters. God has saved me. God has changed me. And the moment He did it, I had joy. And when I think about it, oh, I rejoice. And I think about the moment that He called me into the ministry. Man, I had joy in my heart. I'm called. And when I rethink about that, I rejoice that moment. And I think about when He filled me with His Spirit and I had that joy bubbling in my heart. And when I think about it right now, I rejoice and I'll keep rejoicing. Are you with me? And I think about how He's been so faithful. I told you throughout my whole life. He was so faithful yesterday. He's faithful today. And I know that I can have joy tomorrow. Why? Because I know He in His awesomeness, is going to do it again. I will rejoice. I rejoice. And I would say to you today that if you'll focus on what really matters, you'll not only have joy, but you can rejoice as you rehearse the things that really matter. You know, I was looking at this. Paul didn't write verse 15 to 18 when he got released. He didn't stop at verse 14 and then go, well, I'll get to that later when I'm out of this place, you know. I will write those other verses when God turns everything around in my life. Then I'll know. And you know what? I can preach those messages all day long. He's going to turn it around. He's going to work in your favor. But, big but. I don't know when He's going to turn it around. I have no clue. So are you going to get bitter until He does? Are you not going to have joy until He does? Are you going to come out of the fire not smelling like smoke because you walked with Jesus and He walked with you through the fire? You don't get to choose what happens to you. Team, you can come up. You don't get to choose what happens to you. But you do get to choose how you respond to it. My prayer is that you would respond, or that your response would be, I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to continue rejoicing in the Lord. I pray you receive the word today. Have you received the word today? Come on, let's pray. I just ask nobody moves around right now, unless of course you're on duty somewhere. But otherwise, just if we can remain just in a quiet moment. All of you watching online, I just encourage you just to stay with us right now, because this is a moment where we hear a word, but then we get to respond to the word. You don't want to just hear and then just walk out and be like, yeah, that was good. Yeah, good message. But what is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? This is the moment where you get to pause and go, what is God saying to me about this. What is the point of application for me? We live with choice. For some of you, you can't have joy if you don't have Jesus. I'm telling you. Because joy is not an event. It's a person. The joy of the Lord is where your strength comes from. So you need to encounter the person. And that is Jesus Christ. Above all. The Bible says that we all sin. That's not to condemn you. It's just a reality of the human condition. Goes on to say that sin separates us from God. He never ever wanted it that way. That wasn't his plan. So he sent his only son, Jesus, to enter earth, where he lived the perfect life that you and I could never ever have lived. And he died paying the penalty for our sin. And he says in his word, if you confess him as Lord, that is to say that he is in control. That you are no longer going to do life your way, but his way. And he says, and you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's the resurrection. Then you will be saved. So today I'm inviting you into a relationship. I'm not inviting you into a religion or joining a church, but a relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. And with him comes unexplainable joy. And if you say, even those of you that are watching me online right now, if you say, you know, Mark, that's me today. I need a fresh start. I need a new beginning in Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. I'm not going to ask you to stand to come to the front. But I am going to ask you, if that's you, and you say, I'm not right with God, I'm not where I should be, just to raise your hand so I know to pray for you. I'm going to pray a powerful prayer, and your hand raising, thank you, is an indication, thank you, is an indication, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Gee, hands are going up all over the place, thank you. It's an indication to say to God, I'm coming home, and an indication for me, thank you, thank you, thank you. Wow, hands are still going up, praise God. People are being bold today. They're saying, my life has gone one way, but actually, God has brought me to this place. So many hands. All of you, there's another. Praise God. I'm getting at the back there. Those of you that have raised your hands, if you can just put them down. I'm missing hands all over the place. Is there anybody else? Mark, pray for me. Right now before we go. I want to challenge you. Don't leave this place the same way you came in if you're not right with God. Pray for me, Mark. Is there anybody else? I'm always prepared to wait because I know that for many there's a spiritual battle sometimes going on the inside. Be as bold as a lion. Mark, that's me. I'm about to praise anybody else.